Our opening hymn is number 375, If Thy Beloved Son, O God. All right, remember that the organ will play through the entire thing once before we begin to sing. If thy beloved Son, O God, had not to earth descended, and in our mortal flesh and blood had not sin's power ended, then this poor wretched soul of mine in hell eternally would pine because of its transgression. But now I find sweet peace and rest, despair no more reigns o'er me, no more am I by sin oppressed, for Christ has borne sin for me. Upon the cross for me he died, that reconciled I might abide with thee, my God, forever. I trust in him with all my heart, now all my sorrow ceases. His words abiding peace impart, his blood from guilt releases. Free grace through him I now obtain, he washes me from every stain, and pure I stand before him. All righteousness by works is vain, the law brings condemnation. True righteousness by faith I gain, Christ's work is my salvation. His death, that perfect sacrifice, has paid the all-sufficient price. In him my hope is anchored. My guilt, O Father, thou hast laid on Christ thy Son, my Savior. Lord Jesus, thou my debt hast paid, and gained for me God's favor. O Holy Ghost, thou fount of grace, the good in me to thee I trace. In faith do thou preserve me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works! Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord of God, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy. Thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, who showest to them that be in error the light of thy truth, to the intent that they may return into the way of righteousness, grant unto all them that are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion, that they may avoid those things that are contrary to their confession, and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The lesson for Jubilate is written in Lamentations chapter 3. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope quietly and wait for the salvation of the Lord. Here endeth the lesson. The epistle is written in 1 Peter chapter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Here endeth the epistle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord hath sent redemption unto his people. Hallelujah. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and thus to enter into his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn is number 523. Number 523.
Seasons to love sadness. God.
good and tempers ever. All my ill and he will wholly leave me never. Hopeful, cheerful, and undaunted, everywhere they appear, who in Christ are planted. Death itself cannot appall them. They rejoice when the voice of their Lord doth call them. Death cannot destroy forever. From our fears, cares, and tears, it will us deliver. It will close life's mournful story. Make a way that he may enter heavenly glory. What is all this life possesses? But a handful of sand that the heart distresses. Noble gifts that call me never. Christ our Lord will accord to his saints forever. Lord, my shepherd, take me to thee. Thou art mine, I was thine, even ere I knew thee. I am thine, for thou hast bought me. Lost I stood, but thy blood free salvation brought me. Thou art mine, I love and own thee. Light of joy ne'er shall I from my heart dethrone thee. Savior, let me soon behold me. Face to face, may thy grace evermore enfold me.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in our gospel lesson for today, the first thing that we need to define in order to understand what Jesus is driving at is the little phrase at the end of verse 16 where he says, "Because I go to the Father." Now, throughout the Gospel of John, this terminology about Jesus leaving the world and going to the Father is the same kind of language as when Jesus on the cross, just before he died, cried with a loud voice and said, "It is finished." The idea is that Jesus was sent by the Father into the world, and he came into the world to be the Redeemer and the Savior of the world. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus was sent to be a savior. When he speaks to his disciples and reminds them that he is going to the Father, what he is saying to them is that he will fully and completely accomplish the plan of redemption that the Father sent him into the world to do. He will have performed all the miracles that he was given to do. He will have taught all the things that he was given to teach, and he will have completely obeyed the law on behalf of disobedient sinners, and he will have paid the once and for all sacrifice which only the man who is also Almighty God can do. When a mere man offers his life as a sacrifice, that sacrifice doesn't even avail for himself because it is a corrupted sacrifice. But when the holy, sinless Lamb of God offers his divine human life, that one suffering and death is sufficient to cover and pay for all the sins of the world. Now, all of this is reduced to a simple phrase in our gospel lesson, because I go to the Father. Jesus says, because I accomplish your redemption and the redemption for all sinners. All right. So, therefore, when he says, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, he's referring to his upcoming crucifixion, death, and burial, which will happen very shortly. And so very shortly, the disciples will not see him because he will be crucified, dead, and buried. And then he says, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Now, to the disciples, that time from Friday afternoon until Sunday, when he rose from the dead, seemed like an eternity. But in fact, it was a little while. Just as our trials, our troubles, and the sufferings that we are called upon to endure in this world sometimes seem like they go on forever. But as in all things, they pass, and the sunshine of God's grace once more covers us. So the disciples, they don't get what he's saying. And they repeat what he's saying, and we don't understand what he's talking about. Jesus knows that they want to ask him, but they are reluctant to ask him. So he says, are you wondering? Do you inquire among yourselves what I said? And then he repeats it again, because he wants them to remember this. You know, in our modern way of communication, the Bible seems awful repetitive to us. It says things over and over again. You know, we say, take your shoes off. In the Bible, it says, put off your shoes from off your feet. All right? So the Bible is very full in its communication. Jesus has this phrase going through the minds of the disciples over and over again, and then he himself repeats it once again before he finally explains it, all right?
And that's where we come in here in verse 20. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," which is the formula that Jesus uses when he wants you to pay particular attention to what he's saying. All right, this is his solemn declaration formula. "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And then he says, "Ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Now, in understanding this, we need to understand that what the disciples went through in history, as it actually happened in their lives, this is a picture to us of what we also experience in our lives as well. And one of the things that we commonly experience is times of trial and the bearing of crosses. Now, Jesus has several things to say about this. First of all, in verse 33 of John chapter 16, Jesus says this, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Right? Now notice, he says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." All right? This is a given. Because we believe in the Word of God, because we believe, teach, and confess the Word of God, we must endure tribulations and cross-bearings in the world, because the last thing the world wants is to hear what we have to say. And so in the world, ye shall have tribulation. But then Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But I want to also draw your attention in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 22. St. Paul and Barnabas are saying goodbye to the Christians, and he says they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and listen to this, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. All right, so it's not a perhaps, it is a must. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We're going to enter into the kingdom of God, but before we get there, we will endure our fair share and more of sufferings, tribulations, and cross bearings. But we will enter into the kingdom of God. And Paul here wants the Christians to understand that. Sometimes Christians foolishly think that because they believe in Jesus, they should not have any problems. They should not have difficulties. They should not have afflictions and troubles in life. And they are often rudely awakened by reality. And so Paul here says we must, through much tribulation,
enter the kingdom of God. Jesus says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and you will enter into the kingdom of glory. Now, the last passage that I wanted to share with you is from 1 John chapter 5, where St. John is speaking about overcoming the world. And he says this, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. All right, so faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So we see that tribulation is a given in this life, but we have the promise. Jesus has overcome the world, and he did so for us. We have the promise from St. Paul that though we must endure tribulation, we are going to enter into the kingdom of God. And St. John tells us that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have victory over the world by faith, even though we still must go through times of tribulation and sorrow. Now, the next thing that we need to consider from our gospel lesson is the fact that while the disciples weep and lament, the world rejoices. And Jesus says, ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. How many times has not God wiped the grin off of the world's face as it laughed and mocked at his word? Think about the people in the days of Noah when the rain started falling. Think of Pharaoh and his army chasing the Israelites into the Red Sea and looking up and seeing the waves beginning to crash over them. Think of the Philistines who, expecting quick victory, saw their champion Goliath fall and David, this little stripling, David slays him. Think of the Sanhedrin, who were glad to be rid of this Jesus thing when they began to hear rumors that he was risen again from the dead and that his crucifixion, whatever they may have thought of it, was not the end of the story. And think of the representatives of the papacy before whom Luther stood, and the chagrin and the consternation in their faces when Luther, this lone monk armed with the word of God, said, here I stand. The world's rejoicing is temporary. The world's anguish will be eternal. On the other hand, the Christian's sorrows are temporary, and the Christian's rejoicing is enduring and eternal. All right, Jesus says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a child has been born into the world. And so the joy of the birth of a baby just pushes all the anguish and the difficulty into the background as sorrow, pain, and difficulty gives way to the delight of this joyous bundle of happiness. And so Jesus goes on and he says, you now, talking to the 12, you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh from you. And let's just comment for a few moments on the joy that no one can take away. It is joy based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he rose from the dead and he appeared and they saw him again, they were filled with gladness that entirely eclipsed all of their sorrow, because all of their questions in a moment had been answered. And where there had been question marks and dot, dot, dots, now there are exclamation points. The joy that no one can take away is the joy that you know through the gospel that your sins are forgiven and that you have been put right with God through faith in Christ. Because of that, come what may, you know that you are a forgiven, justified child of God. Secondarily, the joy that no one can take away proceeds from the gift of the Holy Ghost. In John's gospel, Jesus says that when he returns to his Father, he will send the Comforter, the promise of the Father. He's talking about the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. And because the Holy Ghost has been sent into the world, you and I have been born again in baptism. And we have been enlightened by the Word of God, so that we not only believe in, but have come to understand and rejoice in the gracious gifts of God given to us in the Spirit. The third aspect of the joy that no one can take away is that whereas before we were at enmity with God, now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is not angry with us, but he accepts us and enters into loving fellowship with us for the sake of Jesus, his Son, who has completely atoned for and paid for our sins. And therefore, we have not only peace with God, but we have access to his grace, which means that he pours out his love, his care, and his help for us. He hears our prayers and he answers them in his way and in his time. And the last fact that is contained in the idea of joy that no one can take away is that Jesus said to Nicodemus, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the fact that we know that despite the sorrows, despite the cross bearings, despite the afflictions and the tribulations that we must endure oftentimes in this world, we are eternally saved. There is a place for us in heaven. It is our salvation and its inheritance is already waiting for us. It is, in St. Peter's words, reserved in heaven for you. And so today, we have much to rejoice in. Yes, it so happens that when we go through tribulation, one of the temptations that we experience is that we often feel like our prayers have not been heard. And we wonder, where is God? Why is it that he is not answering my prayer? But it's not that God is not answering our prayer. It is that we do not perceive at once his work. And he is teaching us to be patient. And before long, once we have received the answer to our prayers, we are able again to rejoice. And so the lesson that God wants to teach us through our afflictions is to learn to rejoice even when to our senses and to our outward experience, there doesn't seem to be anything to rejoice in. But despite the fact that the answer to our prayers is delayed, and despite the fact that God seems to not be paying attention, the fact is that he is. Why? Because I am a forgiven, justified sinner. He has given me his Holy Spirit, new birth and enlightenment. I have peace with God and access to this grace in which we stand, and I am an heir of eternal life. Therefore, he has heard my prayers, and the answer is coming in his way and time. Oh, that we would learn to rejoice and not give up hope in the midst of our troubles. Remember that we have in Christ gracious and merciful gifts, a joy that no one can take away. And it is all because he goes to the Father. He finishes the work of redemption. It is finished. Redemption has been won. I am saved in Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, who art mighty in power and infinite in majesty, who hast created the heaven and the heaven of heavens, as we enter into the courts of thy presence with thanksgiving and prayer, incline thine ear unto us, and in thy mercy, hear us. We give thanks unto thee, everlasting God, that thou didst glorify thy Son Jesus in his resurrection from the dead, after he had offered himself as priest and as sacrifice for all the world, laid himself upon the altar of the cross, and died to reconcile sinners unto thee. Grant us the blessings of his infinite grace and inexhaustible love. We praise thee that thou didst transform the little while of the crucifixion's sadness and defeat into the joy and victory of the resurrection. Help us to lay hold of Christ's promise of eternal life and to receive it with joy. Give us this glorious consolation by a true and living faith. Grant us the hope and assurance that our eyes shall yet behold him, when according to thy promise, our Redeemer shall at the latter day stand upon the earth and receive us and all who believe in him into the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. And as the empty tomb has been the cradle of the Church of Christ, we pray that all believers may be endowed with zeal to perform thy will, so that thou mayest be glorified and multitudes turned from their sin to faith in our risen Lord. Bestow thy favor upon our land. Give us a government that preserves liberty, upholds justice, seeks righteousness, curbs lawlessness, and by thine ordinance bears its sword in courage and integrity. Let all Christian citizens, in accordance with thy will, accept their lawful obligations cheerfully and dutifully, giving respect to those in authority and honor to all people. As our eternal dwelling place is with thee, O Father, grant us who are but strangers and pilgrims on earth such a measure of thy power and grace, that we may resist all evil, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the victor's crown of life. Give comfort of thy promise to the sick, the sorrowful, the brokenhearted, and the perplexed. We remember especially before you Pastor Roy Coates, Mr. Brett Baker, Mr. Ruben Espinoza, who are afflicted with the coronavirus. Grant them your grace, your help, and your healing. Cast out from our hearts all fear of death and the unknown. Instill in us patience in every adversity and enable us to receive all thy many blessings in love and gratitude. These things we ask in the glorious hope of an eternal day with thee, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. 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 Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right.